right now on VFN TV, we're going to hear Ann Graham interview her mother, Ruth Graham, which is the wife of Billy Graham, talking about how do you raise children? What do you do when one of your children is like a prodigal that you don't know where they're at? Some great wisdom. Also, when to know when to hold them and when to let them go. It's very great wisdom for you to raise our children. And also, we're going to have some VFN KB success secrets and some things that God would not say. That's right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me as always is John Ramos.
Hello.
Man, here we are, man.
Again.
I think so much when I just saw the passing and the honor that was given to Reverend Billy Graham.
You know, yes.
President Donald Trump brought him into the rotunda, and his casket was made by prisoners, you know. Just so much
it's
a humble
life.
Ministry from the beginning to the end. But, you know, why Billy Graham, I don't know if you know this or not, but Reverend Billy Graham was a minister that traveled the whole world. They say individually he spoke to more people, I guess, than anybody else.
I believe 282 million people.
Right. So when he's out speaking out there and he still has a wife and children, guess who's raising the children? It's going to be his wife, Ruth. But they met, and it was a beautiful story about them. We'll have that available to you on the VFN Torch. But she's being interviewed. Ruth Graham is being interviewed by her daughter, which is Anne
Graham Lotz.
But it's her daughter. And she's asking her some very important questions. You could tell they're at the house there, you know, in the Carolinas. And, you know, about raising your children. Because, you know, so often, I mean, there's so much shaming and guilting on parents today in this society. They act like that. You know, they're
supposed to be perfect.
The fact is not even knowing that it's not correct the way society's necessarily going today.
Sure.
There was a day you had to go out and grow your food, farm your food, milk your cow, do these different things today. And they expect everybody to kind of bring things to them. But listen, while he was going out speaking to how many people?
Over 280 million people,
yes,
around the world.
Around the world. And that was prior to texting and technology.
It was a real miles.
It was real miles. That he was gone 6 months at a time, sometimes longer than that, that Ruth was raising their kids. Her son is Franklin Graham, which you know today with Samaritan's Purse. Now, he wrote the book Rebel Without a Cause, so we're not telling you something that's not out there already. But he was a prodigal. I mean, why Reverend Billy Graham was preaching and ministering at a stadium, Franklin was in the hotel next to him, smoking cigarettes, doing all this stuff, you know, not wanting to be able to serve God. And
prodigal is one that's not following
the
Lord. Grew up maybe knowing things about Christ, but has not made a personal decision to follow
the Lord. Yeah, and so, you know, that, so how you define a prodigal is that where, you know, you're wanting your children to serve the Lord and know God and His goodness and His forgiveness so their eternity is good and that they'd be blessed. But, you know, you may have a child that just says, you know, all I want to do is just get away from the family and I want to go do my own thing. That's a prodigal. Jesus gave the story about the prodigal. What He said was there was this man, he had his family, and he was loving on his children, his, you know, letting them have the run of the house or whatever's going on, the farm and things going on like that. But one of them said, listen, I want my inheritance now. Everything that you're going to give me, you know, you give it to me and go. I'm like, okay, here's your $25. You know, but whatever it was, he gave it to him and he left. And his life was just a squandered life. It was just squandered.
Wasted?
And, yeah, wasted life. And he ended up, it was a financial crisis and he ended up in a bad depression. And he couldn't even find a job. And the only job he could find was actually feeding pigs. Mm. And the owner of the pigs wouldn't even let him eat any of the pig food.
That's bad.
And it says, at that point, he came to himself. And he realized that I sinned against God and I sinned against my family. Some people will tell them, you're sinning against God, it's sinning against me. And it's like, they know that.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to come to that awareness. That's called a miracle. Let's see what Ruth Graham said when Ann Graham's asking her, the specific question is, you know, what do you do when you have a prodigal child? Let's listen to what she says.
It wasn't too long after you were married that the children began coming along. And I have two brothers and two sisters. And some of us have been better than others of us. And I know you've had at least one prodigal who's written a book, Rebel with a Cause, and more than one, actually. We don't talk so much about the other ones, but so as you were raising us and raising children, and we'll think about the prodigals for a moment, mm-hmm. what was there that gave you hope when your children your prodigal was in the far country?
The promises of God. I mean, they had been given to God before they were born. They didn't stand a chance. You read the poem, The Hound of Heaven. You realize God's going to keep his hand on them wherever they are. And I'm sure he allowed them to go where they went. Because through those experiences, they can relate to other prodigals today. And thank God both are preaching the everlasting gospel today.
That's so exciting when you see that. Let me tell you something. You know, I don't know how old you are, but if you're young, you know, outside of what you think you can get in Google and a search engine, to hear Ruth Graham, who was born in 1920, lived a faithful life, you know, loving God, loving her family, teaching them about things of God, I mean, just supporting, you know, Billy in the context of that, and dealing with Franklin. And yeah. The fact is that that's just honey. That's honey. If you want to know some wisdom, that's honey in regards to what gives you hope. It's the Word of God and the promises of God, and that, you know, you have to entrust the miracles to God.
That's
and
right.
You know, what's a miracle and what's things that you can do. And so, listen, maybe that's you. Maybe you have a prodigal child right now. Maybe, you know, you are, and that pain is tough. I mean, you love your child. You raised him or her from that particular age, and they seem so free loving and just like everything was great. And all of a sudden, the enemy came in and just tempted them. And they went for it. And they just all of a sudden turned into this other person. And you don't even know who they are anymore. And your heart's broken and you don't know what to do. And, you know, you're praying. Well, listen, maybe that's you. You know, we want to hear from you. Comment below and share that with us, you know, and our community will be praying with you. But also write to us about it. Maybe you were a prodigal and you actually came back to your family, came back to God. And now you're honoring your family. And the truth is, everybody in all humanity, we were all prodigals. And God called us back. The Father is actually Father. God calling us all back through His Son. And it's, we sinned against God and we sinned against man. And we can make a decision for God. And we did that. John and I did that. And we talked about that at meetmyfather.org. You got to find out about how we met Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's meetmyfather.org. John, what's next?
You know, when children are born, they don't come with an instruction manual, right? We learn as we go by hearing God, and we make some mistakes. Well, even Ruth made some mistakes. And when we get back, we're going to hear some of this precious wisdom that she's learned to give you and all of us hope on raising children. Join us when we get right back from this break.
We'll be right back.
I'm not the Son of God because you say I am. I'm the Son of God because God says I am. I'm not confident because of what I can do. I'm confident because of what God says He will do. I'm not forgiven because I've earned acceptance. I'm forgiven because God says He has forgiven. Help me preach. I'm not going to do it because I think I can. I'm doing it because God said I could. I can do all things through Christ. Who strengthens me?
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFNTV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFNTV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We are talking about and listening to Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, being interviewed by her daughter, Ann Graham Lotz. And it's just powerful wisdom that we're finding out. And it was, you know, people look at people's life and they fantasize what it's like.
Yeah, exactly.
But like T.D. Jakes says, we all have issues. Everybody's, you know, we're all human. You're all human. Not as many issues as Pat Hamilton, but many of them. We have a lot of issues. But, you know, the thing about this is she's interviewing her mother about mistakes. Have you made any mistakes? Mom, can you tell us about mistakes that you may have made as a parent that we can borrow and learn from this, that we could not make those same mistakes with our children. Well, this is Anne Graham Lotz interviewing her mother, Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, with that specific question. Let's go there now.
Is there something, as you look back, that you, a mistake that you would have avoided, something that you wish you had done differently, that could be a piece of advice for some of us not to do?
Knowing when to turn loose, I think, is important. And I learned that years ago in learning to water ski, trying to learn. It's how to crouch in the water, how to get up, how to balance, and then the instructor's with you the whole time. And as he senses that you're getting your balance, he'll turn loose, and you're on your own. If you fall, he drops his ropes immediately and helps you back up again. But it's knowing when to turn loose. And I've seen some terrific young Christians that I honestly don't know whether they're terrific young Christians or whether their parents have just never turned them loose. And but if they're really loose and on their own, maybe in another country where nobody knows who they are, that's when the opportunity to come out is show their colors. Are they really living for the Lord, or just because they're afraid to disobey?
That's such a powerful, powerful thing. You know, so often it's just you get this fear of letting go. At what point do you let go? But at some point, you know, if you don't let go, you're forced to let go because they're 40 years old.
That's right.
And they're going to move on. But she says, you know, learning from a ski instructor how there's a time when he's working with you, he's encouraging you, but at some time you're going to have to actually ski. And you understand this, for years, it's going to shock you. For years, for thousands of years, God has been allowing people to have children and raise them without technology.
All on their own, without
even a Betty Crocker cookbook.
Oh.
And somehow, by God's grace, because he's totally in charge, that he can minister and reach out to people wherever they're at. Remember when Saul was going to Damascus to persecute the church? God intervened, you know, and obviously there's a lot of prayers going up for the church at that time. But she's saying specifically that, you know, if you're talking to them beyond, once they've entered into high school, you have, and this is, I think the big thing is this too, John. A lot of people don't tell their kids about anything.
Nothing.
They expect the schools to train them up and that type of thing. And it's like, hello, America. But think about this. You speak into your kids. You live out what you're actually teaching them, and they can observe it from your life. But by the time they get about the ninth grade, you know, you're getting into an argument more than the thing is, you're going to harvest whatever you put into them in that part of their life. And then you sit back and you watch and you give advice. You let them talk. When they ask for advice, you give advice. But if you clamp down too much on them, you never know. She says, I don't know if some people are Christian or not. I don't know if they're trying to please their parents or they're actually, you know, walking with the Lord. You don't know until they get away. And so that's a very important thing. So I want to encourage you right now. Maybe you've been trying to control your children to a right place, you know, and your children are going, you're not going to control me to a right place. And that can kind of blur the process in their life. And, you know, life has a way of, if you don't listen to your parents, you have to listen to the teachers. If you don't listen to the teachers, you got to listen to the police officer. If you don't listen to the police officer, then you have to listen to the judge. If you don't listen to the jude, then you have to listen to the warden. If you don't listen to the warden, you may sit at the throne room of God trying to answer for your life. But God has a way. All authority is established by God. And those who rebel against what he's established, they suffer consequences for us. But that consequences for us is hardship to bring us to a place of repentance.
Yeah.
It's not like punishment, I'm doing away with you. It's in hopes that we would actually turn back
repent,
to God.
Yeah.
So God's working with you as a parent.
It's amazing.
It's so it's God's very good at it. He's very good at it. So maybe that's you. And I want to encourage you right now. Maybe you can comment below, you can write to us, but you know, have you been too terrified to let go? You know, you've been too terrified. You're thinking, you know, and by the way, I want to encourage you to start calling them young lady and young men. If they're a couple of years away from fighting for our country and driving cars and voting for our next leader, you need to start talking to them as young men and young women. And helping them get a vision for their life. So instead of just all of a sudden, you know,
one day, hello.
They join the military just to get away from their mother or something.
Exactly.
That's not a good soldier. And so I want to encourage you right now, if that's you, you've been too afraid to let go, I want to encourage you to say, you know what, God? I'm just going to release my child to you. You know, my child's in their teen. Maybe you're going through the tough teen times, or maybe they're in their 20s, you know, and there's so many things we could talk about, but there's just this sense of ownership. And nobody owns anyone. All we're doing is just investing in them and getting a harvest.
Stewarding.
And this is what the Word of God says. If you teach them the right things when they're young, if you train them in the ways of God when they're young, then when they get old, they won't depart. That time frame, that's in God's hands. That's the miracle that she talks about when she says, you know what, you can trust God. You can actually, you know, just the things that you do. As a matter of fact, we get back from this break, I think we're going to talk, you're going to hear her talk firsthand about this, because she's going to say, you know, what she did about that. And what do you do when you have these kind of things going on? Do you run around chasing prodigals? Do you, you know, pay for their apartment in this, you know, place that you told them not to go to? What do you do? But she came up, she has some great wisdom that God spoke to her about. And we're going to talk about that after the break. But make sure you comment below, write to us, and email us. We'd love to hear from you after this break.
We'll be right back. David Weber from San Angelo, Texas, who's a technical training instructor, wants me to talk about conviction. David, I love this quote. I've said it many times. I think it's very true. One person with conviction is a majority. How many times I've seen a group of people that basically didn't know what they wanted or where they were going, but there was one person in the group, they knew. They felt it with passion. They spoke it from the heart. They were determined that that was exactly what they were going to have, and pretty soon other people began to pick up on that conviction. They began to pick up on that passion, and what do you know? Pretty soon that one person with conviction is the majority, and everyone else is following him or her to that desired destination. I've often said to have an answer is a wonderful thing, but to have the conviction of the answer is even more wonderful.
Here we are, yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. Listen, this is so much wisdom, isn't it?
Yes, from very Ruth good.
Graham, and thank God for Ann Graham Lotz, who's, yes.
And thank you for Franklin for just testing this theory out. I mean,
if you haven't read the book, maybe you can see it on your screen. It's called Rebel Without a Cause. And my son read it when he was 10 years. I'm like, thank you, Franklin. We appreciate that. I think he read it as like a script or something.
Oh, wow.
But thank the Lord that, you know, our children love God and, you know, and they've made their own decisions in
their
life.
It's a beautiful thing.
And so Ann's being Ruth's being asked a question. Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, is being asked a question from her daughter, Ann Graham Lotz, about how to raise your children. And I talked a little bit right before the break is, you know, when you're talking about transitioning your children when they're, you know, 1 year old, 5 years old, 10 years old, 12, 14, 15, 16, 18. I mean, how do you, when do you let go? When do you stop, you know, being micromanaging of their life? You should be micromanaging their life when they're one and five and six, but you're teaching them skills that hopefully they can survive, you know, in life, some basic skills, and teaching them about the things of God. But the best thing you can do about God is just live for God. Mm. Live for God and demonstrate to your children that you're every one of us are flawed, but just love God in front of them and serve God in front of them and be honest about your journey.
We teach what we know. We reproduce what we are.
That's the truth.
And so they're going to watch, be that living example, and they'll duplicate it.
Right. Except for the bad stuff. Anyway, so this is what, this is the answer that Ruth Graham gives to Ann Graham Lotz. This is Billy Graham's wife and daughter. You know, what kind of transition to make when you're raising your children from age to age? Let's see what she had to say.
What, thinking of that when to turn loose, what kind of transition do you make between being a parent of teenagers and, like, my children are now in their 20s, mm-hmm. so they're young adults, and then as they get married and have their own homes, how much do you get involved in your children's lives, and how do you make that transition?
I think, basically, preteens are the time to teach. The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That says a lot right there. Don't choke them with the Bible or teaching, but just a little. when they're in high school, I think it's time to shut up and listen. Because by then, they know what you stand for and what you hope for them. But they need a sounding board. And you're a fortunate mother if your children will open up and sound off. Sometimes they're just born quiet, sort of keep things to themselves. And our youngest brother, Ned, would kind of come sit on your bed 10 o'clock at night and then talk forever. I mean, talk 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. But you're so glad to have him talking that you don't object and you learn some interesting things that way. So I think it's basically train up to high school, listen from the teenage years on, and encourage every step of the way. That teacher who taught or tried to teach us how to water ski was a famous instructor from the south of France. And every other word was a word of encouragement. Each step you did as you were trying to, how to crouch in the water, how to stand, how to balance, he's encouraging you every step of the way. And I think children need encouraging. Everybody needs encouraging, but I think especially as children, young people grow up.
And I think you've been a wonderful encourager. And my mother is also a wonderful listener. And she talked about my younger brother who would climb up on her bed and pour his heart out. And I can remember nights when I climbed up on your bed and poured my heart out. And you've always made yourself available to just listen. I think sometimes as a parent, I feel like I have to have answers. And sometimes I think children just want to talk. They don't need an answer or
exactly.
A cliche, sort of. They just need somebody to listen
exactly.
And to love them.
Mm-hmm.
And mother wrote a poem when my brothers were prodigals, and she wrote this poem that sort of described a little bit of what she was going through. She waited for the call that never came, searched every mail for a letter or a note or card that bore his name. And on her knees at night and on her feet all day, she stormed heaven's gate in his behalf. She pled for him in heaven's high court. Be still and wait, the word he gave. And so she knew he would do in and for and with him that which she never could. Doubts ignored, she went about her chores with joy, knowing though spurned, his word was true. The prodigal had not returned, but God was God, and there was work to do. And I think as we were raised and you had so many difficulties, you just got on with the work.
Right.
And that's a wonderful thing because many people were blessed, including Daddy, who would come home needing that sort of refilling and refreshing. And you were free somehow from the burden of
right.
The prodigals to minister to him. Mm-hmm. That's a wonderful thing. Is there something that you feel is very key in passing faith in Jesus Christ on to our children?
Okay. I had a tremendous load lifted when I first realized, God said to me, he never has talked to me audibly, but there's no mistaking when he says something. It's usually contrary to what I'm thinking. You take care of the possible, he said to me, and trust me for the impossible. And impossible lies in the realm of miracles, and miracles are not in your department, and that's true. And so the possible means making a home where the children are loved and accepted, you know, preparing meals, helping with the clothes or whatever they need help with, just to be available as a mother and be there. A mother like God needs to be a very present help in trouble. I mean, they shouldn't come home from school in the afternoon and find the mother's gone somewhere. And I know that some mothers, working mothers, but the children are smart and they know why she's working, because she has to, because she wants to buy another car or, you know, on things, and they're going to get their standards from their mother, materialistic or not. But I think we have to take care of the possible and trust God for the impossible. And the impossible for us is conviction of sin, creating a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, and conversion. And all of those are miracles. And as God quite plainly laid on my heart, miracles are not in our department. We take care of the possible and trust Him for the impossible.
Well, I think there's something else that you had told me also, that, in fact, you gave me an illustration that you can't teach your children to enjoy eating spinach if every time they see you eating yours, you gag.
Yeah, someone said the best way to teach a child how to eat is to let him see that his parents enjoying their food.
Right. And I think the same thing would be true with our faith.
Sure.
That one reason I wanted to receive that baton of faith from you is because you enjoyed it so much
right.
And you enjoy the Lord. And
absolutely.
I'll never forget. This is so important. You know, she basically said, you know, up until the time to go to, you know, the early teens before high school, teach, 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 teach. But once they become a high school student getting their teen years, shut up and listen and pray for them. And just realize, be an ever-present help, like God's ever-present help in time of trouble. And there will be times of trouble when they start testing out their little wisdom and stuff, you know, and, you know, all those kind of things that go down. And you want to stay present. You don't want to say things that put walls between you and them. You're trying to always keep things open so when they come to themselves that they know that there is no wall there between you, them and God, or you and God. Mm-hmm. And I like what she said, too, about, you know, if you want your kids to enjoy their food, enjoy yours.
That's right.
I'll never forget Megan, our oldest daughter, and Amber were sitting at the same table. They were young, right? And Amber loved all this different kinds of natural foods and whatever. And but Megan picked up something. Megan picked up something she didn't like. And as soon as she didn't like it, Amber couldn't eat it. And so it was just how you picked that up, right?
Yeah.
And so we said, well, Megan, you're going to eat Amber's too, right? And then Jared, my son, he would always look to his sister, and I remember he was over at my parents' house, and Dad's asking him, you know, or Mom's asking him, you want some of this? And so he goes all the way over to Amber and asks her, do I like that, right? And so which means this, that everything that we're doing, people are watching, our family's watching. If we're living for God, I know we're about to go right here, but if we're living for God, that's great wisdom she's talking about. There's so many things that we're moving in sometimes that's the miracle department. You know, God is going to bring salvation. We pray for it. God's going to bring conviction. That's the Holy Spirit bringing conviction. You don't bring conviction. You bring criticism if you're saying something. You just got to love on them. Sometimes that's the best thing you could do at those kind of moments. And this miracle department, but the department is not the miracle. Like, live your life. You know, take care of the family that just wants to be taken care of. You know, love and worship God and realize, God, I'm trusting you. Pray, you know, continually. And we're about to close. But this is very, very good news. I know this. You know, we want to hear from you. Maybe that's you. You know, maybe you're thinking, my goodness, I should have let go sooner, or I need to let go sooner. I got to get some trust issues resolved in my heart, because God is able, if he's able to handle me, he can handle my children. And maybe you're starting to raise your children and realize, you know what, I haven't even gone to church. I haven't fellowship with anybody in the Lord. If I want my children to serve God, I need to serve God. If I want my children to honor God, I need to honor God. 24/7, not just on Sunday for 15 minutes. Comment below, write to us. We love hearing from you. We want to pray for you right now. Father God, we just pray a blessing over our community. We call in the prodigals. We call them back to you, Father, and to their families, Lord God. We just bless them, God. And we just decree by faith we decree, Lord, that abortion has ended in America, that revival has come in America, and the third great awakening is here in America. By faith, we decree it in Jesus' name. God bless.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
You know, there's something about when you first get saved, that the first thing that most people think about is like, there's nobody like me. Mm. And you're very thankful, you're grateful that God has forgiven you, but you're not sharing with anybody because you look at everybody else and you think, well, obviously all these folks are walking on water.
Yeah, right.
I mean, they talk about like these books, they got the books memorized, you know, they got like this book of Malachi and, you know, Matthew and Jonathan, you know, whatever they are. And so, you know, they're just like, oh my goodness. And the greatest thing that we can do for each other is to tell them our story.
That's right.
To let them know, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. People get hope when they find out you needed Jesus too.
That's right.
They get hope when they find out you're a sinner too, saved by grace, that God reached down in the depths of hell and darkness and just great calamity and all your attempts to find yourself. And he introduced his father through himself to you when you got saved.
Mm-hmm.
Sharing your story. Everybody's got a story.
That's right.
And we share a few of them. We share a few of them with you at meetmyfather.org. Well, listen, the whole purpose of Jesus' ministry was to make the Father known. That's our purpose. And our ministry is to make the Father known to you through his son, Jesus Christ. Listen, get to know God through his awesome, awesome son, Jesus Christ. Go to meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet my father. Meetmyfather.org. you've got to meet him.